Welcome to Lit the Will Podcast. We're here to entertain and inform a bit while talking about Digimon. I'm Mark, I run with the Will and produce Digimon on Blu-ray.
I'm DevQ, and I found the source of the ticking noise.
Oh, that's good. I know you've been looking for that. How has your week been, Dev?
Caked in glitter and remnants of little bits of styrofoam and cardboard.
And that's not going to end until January, is it?
No, not at all. Like, my fingertips are calloused and raw and peeling from, like, so much contact with cardboard. It's insane. Yeah.
And I added the rest of the pad when it came on Wednesday, and since then I've basically just been testing the computer to see if it's working as I expect. Like my old CPU, the new CPU likes the turbo so much that I swear it will sometimes be just as hot doing nothing as when it's doing a ton. Because when it has the headroom, it loves to turbo from like 3.4 gigahertz to like it'll go to 4.7 without me doing anything.
Computer's like, I lived, bitch.
Basically, yes. It is very amped up, but I'm very exhausted from making sure everything was working.
Technology is suffering.
And then we have Beat Break Episode 6, The Bond of Parent and Child.
And surprisingly, not the people we assumed would get murdered got murdered.
Yeah, so this is a weird one. So we start off with the cliffhanger with Astamon and Pandamon, and then it is very quickly dealt with. Tropmon and Wolvermon show up. We get a bit of a distraction, and then Yukari's just like, we're going to leave. And they do. Geckomon's word that we get, I will say I like Pandamon all bandaged up.
Helping.
And then at one point, the old man's gone. He talks to the Yakuza to try to settle things, and it doesn't. And then we get him, like, when he comes back, he dramatically stops Pandamon. The interesting thing here is, first off, again, Geckomon eye catch. I'd hoped that was going to be more ongoing.
Anything but that.
Yeah. We get Pandamon without his coat saying, you know, he's going because standing with Geckomon and his friends is more important than that. So he's left the family, blah, blah, blah.
Do things on my own.
It's interesting because the episode's very much framed as a follow-up to last episode, but it's kind of basically just another standalone episode with Pandamon and the same villains. Where, like, the actual cliffhanger is dealt with so quickly, it almost is nothing to do with the episode. Because even Pandamon's not, like, he's bandaged up originally, but then he's very quickly kind of just back to normal.
I got better.
And then very quickly, it's like, we can't fight in the office and then Mirror World. I actually like the cityscape version of it.
Yes, and I also like, you know, a villain having, like, reasonable expectations of, like, hey, could you not fire a gun inside of a building?
Yeah.
You kind of don't want to get caught, and also, I kind of fucking live here, my dude.
Also, I love the Wolvermon doing the dash to grab Geckomon.
Yes.
And then we get, hey, E-Pulse to Geckomon. This is like it's sort of like where Cross Wars didn't want to do evolutions at first, so it did crosses. And it's kind of the same thing here, where Geckomon gets powered up by E-Pulse, and instead of evolving, he kind of just bounces around.
Yeah, but also it doesn't go that far, because like you're still fighting a fucking perfect. Yeah. You are an actual baby.
Yeah. I like Pandamon grabbing the gun and aiming it at him, and then trade. And then, of course, the trick is we saw Pandamon acting weird with the gun earlier, and he snapped off his claws in it.
I don't trust this motherfucker to be as chivalrous as I am. I was right.
Exactly. And then, you know, Pandamon's going to use the rest of his E-Pulse to attack, blow him up. I like how Astamon's as surprised and, like, holy crap about this as you would expect. And then
nuke.
And then we get Geckomon jumping in, trying to share his E-Pulse, and they both explode in energy and vanish. And then they come out of the smoke and they're okay. I like how they both seem surprised at this.
This is not how we expected this to end. Yeah. But yay!
And then we get a bit of an aside earlier with Kyo dealing with a spy deal, you know, like government agency guy who's selling stuff. Keo grabs the ID card, and I like Murasuman popping in with the middleman with the stuff.
It's just like, oh, you kind of thought that doing it the old-fashioned way would not get you caught, but yeah. Surprise, bitch.
Yeah. So the weird thing is, before we talk about the ending, the episode does a weird thing that kind of bothers me. A lot. So the last episode ends on a cliffhanger. The new episode resolves the cliffhanger very quickly. Most of this episode is functionally just getting back to setting up that cliffhanger again. Like, they run through the whole plot to basically put it in the exact position that the last episode left off in. It's kind of odd.
They wanted kind of like repeating sort of thing to wrap everything up.
Yeah.
Here we are again.
Yeah, I'm just not convinced how well it works when they resolve it and then the whole... It just felt a bit odd to me personally. I like the
see
old...
See what they do with it next week.
Yeah, I like the old man lecturing Pandamon then, even pointing out that if he thought he would abandon his friends like that, he would have kicked them out anyways.
And also, they are all hypocrites.
Yeah. And then everyone says goodbye. And then weirdly, after the whole setup about sharing and everything and Gekkoman understanding that, Gekkoman then steals the other half of the bun.
Cannot be stopped.
Now, how often do you think we see Pandamon again, Dev?
I say background character in probably 15 or 20 episodes.
You think that many?
Yeah.
I would like it to be that many. I was going to go with like 3, with maybe one important one.
Depends on how quickly they want to revisit the shopping arcade.
Yeah. And then, so I'd give this one a thumbs up, but we've definitely fallen into kind of like an episode-by-episode malaise now, I would say. Like, I would not be shocked if the show's losing viewers at this point, because I think a lot of people thought the first 2 or 3 episodes is what the show is going to be, when that was really just set up.
See what happens next week, because it looks like it'll get a little more intense with whatever shenanigans.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping.
Kyo is going through.
Now, here's what's interesting. The guest cast. Astamon is Hiroki Takahashi. Very long history with Digimon. His best known role is Itmon, Beelzebubmon, and Tamers. But are you ready for some of his other big roles in Digimon? He was Monzaemon.
Yes, I cannot remember them.
He was Monzaemon in Waru Monzaemon in Adventure. He was Daisuke's dad in O2. Most people don't know he was also Dobermon in Tamers.
Well, he said like 3 lines and then he died.
He was Omegamon in Savers.
Okay.
He was Hiro's dad in Ghost Game.
That I remember.
Yeah. And then it is hard to like tamp down his roles. So there's a small selection. He was Givania in Death Note, Japan in Hitalia, Hisoki in the original anime of Hunter x Hunter, Katsuya in Yu-Gi-Oh!, which people in English would know as Joey, Eiji in Prince of Tennis, he's Ryu in various Street Fighter stuff, and Kenji in School Rumble. And you ready for some dubbed over stuff?
This is going to be ridiculous. I
only picked 3 things because the list was too long. In Transformers Animated, he was Optimus Prime. He dubs over for Jake Gyllenhaal in various films. So, like, he dubbed over him in Prince of Persia and the Spider-Man movie he was in. And Paul Walker in the Fast and Furious films. And then the government sellout guy was played by Ryo Naginuma. He just had a bunch of bit roles in Beat Breaking Ghost Game before this.
Exists to be a background character.
And the next time we get episode 7, Narinso. Do you think that's the right way to say that, Dev?
I do not know what it translates to.
And the trailer shows Black Gaukamon, which people are very excited to see.
Yes, I want to see the color change puppy.
And then in some...
I only got to see it in the card game, right?
I think he's been in something else. One sec, let me check, because... I feel like he was in a video game somewhere. He was in Next in the manga. He was in Crusader also, but that's not really being in a game. That's sort of just art that sits there.
It's just a card.
Yeah. Then for other Beatbreak news, we get a line test of the battle with Kenkimon and Pandamon from the last episode. Cool. And the new issue of Animedia has art of Reyna and Pristimon along with interview content.
Yes.
Then episode 6 production art we got today, which very nice art from the episode, and also showing off that in the Animedia there's line art previews of characters.
Someone get very nice scans of those. I'll be delighted.
I'm very happy we've been getting so much art on social media just from them. It's been very fun.
Yes, I love cool turnarounds where I can actually see the details of the thing.
And then, a chapter of the later Liberator web novel I'm actually happy with.
Like, yes, this actually had content and plot like, and character.
Cool boy. We get a kind of introduction to Delphawn. It's weird because it's a text introduction without any art or anything. It feels like this is one.
I figure like next issue we'll probably get like a reference book update. Hopefully, maybe.
Probably, it feels like this is one that like a big piece of art would have been good. I like Cool Boy not getting taken down a peg, but people being very honest with Cool Boy, who structurally in the comics and web novel has sort of been like Mr. Magic to a degree.
Not like up on a pedestal by everyone.
Yeah. And am I wrong, or has the idea that Cross-Connectia is dying or vanishing already been mentioned somewhere?
But I just kind of assumed it was sort of like, oh, no one plays this game anymore, whatever.
Maybe. It's weird. Like, they want Delphomon to be important. Like, it's a god thing. It's the first Digimon born in this world, but we don't really get details that clarifies it. So we'll see.
Is it Yggdrasil? Is it define first? Yeah. Like, how actually important is that?
Yeah. Like, is it just the first Digimon that happened to pop up in here? Because this was, in theory, a game that Cool Boy was helping develop. So we'll see, hopefully sooner rather than later. And I will say, I like the ending as all the novel characters pop up. It's definitely a better, tighter chapter than we've seen in a while, it feels like.
That doesn't feel like a chore to slog through.
Yeah, there's been a few recently where it feels like they're just filling time until theoretically Liberator will end in February-ish, probably.
Puttering around.
Yeah. And then for Time Stranger. So first up, patch. A lot of patches. The game has been very buggy. They work through a lot of the more mission-y bugs here. I haven't played in a while. I believe the main bug that I saw was patched out a few patches ago. The main one that I saw was that if you had Agiomon set to automatically evolve for battles and he died in the battle, he would not recover properly. So instead of his life being full for the next battle, it would like glitch because he becomes Agiomon out of battle. And when the next battle starts, you would get 1 HP with him.
You mentioning that one.
Yeah. I believe that's been patched a while ago. It looks like a lot of patches here. Still, I don't believe there's been any fixes for overall performance yet, which is so very up and down for this game. But yeah. So then on top of that, we get a preview for Craniumon and Enbarmon. This is one of those weird ones.
More
like
fitting on the horse than Tidemon does.
It is, but it's a weird one because like it has like no overall relevance. It's one of those where it feels like it was meant for 5-10 years ago. And then we get an accolades trailer. It's kind of a weird one because they don't do a lot of quotes. They show a good number of scores, but then like one of the quotes they use, it's like it's one of the best Digimon games ever. One of. That's a low bar in general, and two, I feel like even as many flaws as the game has, it's definitely the best Digimon game. It's not. I don't feel like there's much of a question there. It just feels weird because like they don't actually like they could have found more accolades. Is what I'm saying. I think they did like 6 quotes and like 12 scores, and like some of the scores are like an 8. And it's like, you can puff it up a little bit bigger. Also, this would have been a good time to be like, hey, it's hit 1 million sales, or, you know, whatever the number's going to be.
Yeah, it's like, hey, this DLC is coming out soon, or...
Yeah, we're at the point where, like, they should be teasing DLC or something. Hopefully, I'm hoping the accolades trailer is where that starts, where then, you know, in a week we'll get a teaser for something.
look how much people like this. Also, we're adding new stuff.
I think what's going to make that big or not is how detailed actually is the new stuff. Because we really don't have any idea of the size of it yet. So we'll see. And then from New Century, we got the silhouette last time. The Digimon based on the Tauti. That is a goofy little guy. Do you remember last week when I was saying some people were like, oh, it's some big crazy monster. And I mentioned a number of people were like, if you look at the feet, it looks like it's going to be like a weird little dude.
It's indeed a weird little dude. Also, I think it's me being spoiled by the Fabulous Beast show kind of made me expect more. Because like, oh, Tautier is one of my favorites. And it's like, oh, okay. That's an interpretation.
I do feel like the reaction to him is much more subdued than some of the New Century Digimon. I like the guy. He looks weird and goofy. I like him.
Yeah, it's kind of like a slight downgrade from the actual mythological
creature. I feel like this is one that when we see the proper profile art, it will look better. When the art is slightly less soft, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We're going to get the art that's going to be worse, isn't it?
Just to spite me.
And then cards.
Pretty cards.
So first up, oh man, defense plug in F. That's a I don't think there's any real joke to make here. It's the old art, and that's what they do for all the plugins, which makes sense.
I've been blown away. It's so high res now.
Sakuyamon Miko mode.
Which looks absolutely fucking amazing.
That's a really nice one. And another time when you would wish Bandai would drop some of their US names, because maid mode just doesn't work.
Yeah, no. It's like, we know what a Miko is. It's not like you have to hide that... What an onigiri is.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing. Bandai gets very weirdly stubborn with their international English names. Cubimon. Nice art. I really like it, summoning the little flames.
So fluffy, I want to shove my face into its fluff.
And then, of course, offensive plug-in V. I don't have anything to say because it's just the plug-in thing again.
Fancy.
Renamon. I really like
the background.
The texturing on everything is very nice.
I fucking love the clouds.
Grand Galemon, which feels like it confused people. You have to remember, the starter decks always come with a few like additional bonus cards, and this is a new one of Grand Galemon. This is such a good card. This is also one where the sample text really is in like a bad position.
Yeah, just right over his face.
Yeah. This is one that...
It just did like the Mike Wazowski to him.
Exactly. Then in a couple episodes of Card Battle, one of them, they play through the Alisson beta. The interesting thing here is I like when they sub them because it adds some much-needed personality to the game, I think.
I still need to watch that one. Yeah.
And then they do an episode...
I'm glad they've been subbing them recently-ish.
Well, here's the thing. Because every once in a while, they won't sub one, and they'll do 45 seconds of news, like last time. And then Hideyoshi comes by for the next one, where they do the rules of the current regulation battle events, which is you can only use the block icons 4 and 5, so cards from years 4 and 5 of the card game.
Okay.
And they use Adventure Deck and Rail Base Deck. And we also get some previews of some events, so Paledramon and Dino Beamon Madden card set. Premium card collection, and the Omnimon and Alphamon sleeves for the English version of the card game, which will be at some events. Lugamon prize cards.
Poppy.
Now, I think some of these we've seen before at other events. I think so. It's hard to tell sometimes.
Okay, the Soul Lugamon looks really familiar, or it might just be a very similar pose, but the top three and then the puppy one I do not recognize.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And then for Ultimate Cup events, we get Gumdramon family cards. I like how they've done the run-through of the anime for these events.
I really like the Gumdramon.
I'm looking, trying to decide which of the three I like best, and I think it probably is the Gumdramon, honestly.
It's definitely mine.
And then more Godzilla stuff. Nothing super large this time, so we get a muffler towel featuring the four collaboration monsters.
And have we ever gotten like really good solo high res art of that yet? Or has it always just been on top of merchandise or posters?
It's always been on merchandise of some sort, I believe. Then, tote bag, which I think this is the first time we've seen a black and white version of the Metal Greymon art. I think. I don't recall seeing it before.
You're right.
What's weird is, I feel like if you didn't have, like, the neon 80s triangle behind it, it wouldn't work.
Yeah, you're right.
But that makes it stand out. And then they're reprinting the keychains. I think these are the closest we've gotten to, like, clean art of them.
Yeah, that's what I feel like.
I'm trying to think if they ever did profile art on Twitter. I don't remember.
I don't think so.
It's hard to remember because these were like almost a year ago at this point. In fact, I think the event where they announced the pendulum, I think they announced the original versus one at the same event last year. I think. Hard to remember. But yeah, more Godzilla stuff is coming.
I am hyped. Please give me Ghidorah things.
And then, from the weekend batch, so we get a reference book art of Craniumon and Embarmon. It's good art. Although, it really doesn't feel like this is really a Digimon, does it?
It feels more like a D&D enemy.
Yeah, it feels more like, hey, it's two Digimon, one sitting on the other. It's not really like a combination or anything like that. At least to me. Then, as Maria showed off some of the artwork from when they were designing Embarmon.
This, like, I actually really like.
So do I, especially showing like stuff like the foot joints and like the way the armor locks. It's just all neat. I love when we get stuff like that. Annabirth showed off a few products. See, I thought these were the first episode scripts. I know they did these before. I don't think I realized these were the last episode ones, where the notepad books for at least the first four shows are themed after the scripts for the last episode in recording. I need to check the rest because I thought they were all episode one this time.
Huh. Someone will have to go back and check.
The funny is, looking at the art, Frontier really wins this one.
Or Neimon.
He looks happy enough.
And Koichi still doesn't exist.
He looks happy enough, though. In chat, they're wondering why it's the last episode. I believe at least Adventure. I don't know if the other three did. But there was something like this sold half a year or a year ago, whereas episode one. I don't remember if it was just Adventure, all four of them, though. So these ones at least are last episode because they already did the first. The rest, I'll have to check. I thought they're all the first, though. Aimi Miyazaki showed off photos from his current concert tour. That includes Nagoya and also Kobe.
I'm glad he's having fun.
Yeah. And then from Digimon Card Room, Meguro took a photo of all of them since it's the first time Hideyoshi's been there in a while.
He looks so happy.
He does. I like how they're all posing, and Chiba loves doing that pose where it looks like he doesn't want to be there. But half the time when he's making that face, he's the one taking the photo. We get some art and some comments from Ayumi Minato, who did Paradox and Believers, now that it's out. He shows off the cover image that he had done for Digimon Comic Volume 2.
Which looks amazing, as usual.
Did we get this clean before now? I don't remember.
I don't think we did. I feel like there was text on it.
Yeah, Did we only ever get it with the Digimon comic logo and branding stuff on it, though? I don't remember. And then explaining the... And the art of Even Kuwagamon, I'm pretty sure, is new. Where he explains Kuwagamon for the comic. Where it's sort of like Kuwagamon's often an enemy based on the appearance. They decide to have it be on the side of the hero, this one. And in their mind, they wrote it as if it was a calm and composed female knight protecting Eve.
Aww.
Yeah. And he ends his little description with, "Thank you, Kuwagamon."
Little buggies doing their best.
And then we also get a bit of art for Believers, which is out now. I love the sign theme. It's good. I just like it. Let's see. Next up, a bit of card game art.
Be a cool piece of merchandise, though.
Okay, this card game art. The description is, Unchained comes to pick up Shoto. He was taken away through a mysterious gate from Lacuna, but if it happened in the real world, it may have looked like this. And it's very clearly a redraw of the scene from Cyber Sleuth with Kyoko in the car.
I was thinking, hey, I have, like, puppies and candy in the back of my car.
I just like, it's such a goofy image because it's drawn so earnestly, and they just have Shoto like, huh?
I'm in danger.
It's so good. And then we get various photos for Beat Break. Megumi Han went to the Round 1 collaboration and had the promotional plush with her, took photos of it. Did we know about those Gamamon cardboard crown things?
We saw them in like a background photo from last week.
I didn't notice those at all.
Yeah, a bunch of people were wearing them, I think, at the... Oh, God, what event was it?
I have no memory of this.
But yeah, they were, like, wearing them, just standing outside.
Okay, I had no memory of it. And then she posted the panda bread she did last time, but drawn on it to make it be Pandamon with Geckomon on him, as if, you know, like, when he's shaking him awake at the beginning of the episode.
It's adorable.
It is.
And also, Pandamon's going to get his head bitten off.
And then we get Geckomon visiting the production offices with director Hiroki Miyamoto and Yasuni Sato, who I believe is the one who chooses musical compositions and such for the series. And I believe she did for 2020 Beat Break also.
That plush is so good.
It is, especially since, am I wrong, or is the texture less harsh than the old Harrismon one?
Yeah, that and, like, it's obviously using, like, really nice minky fabric. It looks like pretty poseable.
Yeah.
Not like just one solid block because like you can see kind of like how its legs are sort of like dangling off of the
yes, that was the one issue with the Harrismon one. You could always tell it was just a foam block because it could not pose at all. Here we do get some do you think it's maybe different plushes? Are we being conned here, Dev?
If they released this one as, like, something you could purchase.
Also, you could not have those bowling balls. It feels like someone would be a pain in the ass and go, I'm going to try to dribble it. Because you just know someone's going to try.
They're going to fail.
Yes. And then we get some...
Probably why the ones, the round one here, are just solid colors.
Then we get Beat Break art. So, Akamini Aki, who worked on the episode for Motion Inspection, did a couple images of Tomuro. Takahiro Kojiro, who's the character designer for Beat Break, put up art of Pandamon and the boss. That it's such a good poster image.
So dramatic.
Then when the TV account put up the credit list, we get a good shot of Pandamon attacking. And
I love the cell.
Zhang Zhuge, who's chief animation director for some episodes of Beat Break, put up a very, very nice bit of full color art. It's gorgeous.
I kind of like the slightly pastel-y colors used in the background.
It feels very our war game.
Yes. Yes, it does.
I would assume that's not an accident. That's my guess, anyways. And then from chat, time for questions. Beep. First one I've said ahead of time, someone said, I know it's early in Digimon Beat Break, but what would you like to see come next from the franchise? What do you think will?
More adventure shit.
I was going to say, I think it's there's still a bit of, it feels like they're setting us up for epilogue stuff. Especially getting how close we are to it.
More Omegamons.
Many more Omegamons. But yeah, outside of more adventure stuff, Dev, what do you think would come next?
Honestly, we're getting so much shit currently that's like, what kind of different stuff would we expect? Because obviously, Time Stranger just came out.
Yeah, DLC
just started running.
Yeah, DLC's
the card game's still going pretty well.
Really, the only thing that we're not like in the active midst of is movie.
Yeah, and we got one not that long ago.
No, it just celebrated its second anniversary like a week ago.
Yeah, and that's not something they ever popped out, like, back to back to back.
Well, that's the other weird thing to think of. So, Try is OVAs, but they were very clearly theatrical length, and they got theatrical screenings in Japan and the U.S. Kizuna and Ode to the Beginning, we are a couple weeks away from it being 10 years from when Try started, and in that time we've gotten 8 films. Like, that is crazy to really think of.
They should make a Beat Break movie.
I'd rather wait to see where Beat Break goes before that. And I'm pretty sure you're being facetious.
Wait, also, it should be a musical.
I wouldn't mind the musical. Let's see.
Yeah, it's kind of too early then.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. Let's see. Tiny Iron Fist wants to know, what piece of Digimon merchandise do you treasure? God, that's a weird one, because stuff changes so much over time. Like, I remember when I got the O2 DVDs from Japan, and those were like a treasure. Now, they're in a box somewhere.
Well, two things come to mind. One is the first Digivice that I got, which was Ken's D3. And also, a little while back, my partner found me one of the little American release like Tailmon Gatomon like beanbag plushies.
Oh, I remember.
He found
those.
It somewhere, and then brought it to me in person. Just like, oh my god, you found the thing!
Yeah, I'm trying to.
So
think
then I carefully hand washed it in the sink, and now it just sits on my shelf, staring soullessly at me.
I'm just trying to think, like. I don't know, probably that we actually have, like, stuff on Blu-ray now, and it looks good. I mean, you'd think that'd be an obvious answer for me, because I worked on them, but it's one of those weird things where it's hard to think about, like, what do I actually treasure from the franchise at the moment? Yeah, it's hard for me to say. Because especially since, you know, we do news in a podcast, it's so easy to think week to week.
Yeah, and also, like, some stuff is kind of like out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially with, like, you've been moving around a lot, and also I'm a goddamn hoarder.
Yeah.
So she's like, where are things? Look around the room. Okay.
It's like I have that, what was it, the Omegamon Dine action figure, the big giant fig arts they made, and I don't think I ever had the time to unbox it because I was so close to moving. So, like, that's something really fucking cool I have, but I don't remember if I've ever actually taken it out of the box. So it's somewhere. And someone said they had a couple questions on couple gaming on PC questions. The first was they got an OLED monitor and it feels like it's too bright. Is that normal? So there's two things here. The first is please make sure you're not running it in HDR mode all the time. That will turn the brightness to 100 and yeah, that's too much. Even normal will have it at like 70 or 80. My comfortable brightness on an OLED PC monitor, I turned down to like 30. You basically want it as low as you can go where everything looks right to you. And then the other one...
So depending on what the settings were of whatever previous monitor you use, you kind of eventually just get used to that and sort of see that as, oh, this is the default.
Yeah, generically, if you're not in HDR... You want the brightness as low as you can go where it looks comfortable. For me, that's 30. And you probably want to change the colors to SDR, as a lot of them, by default, use like a vivid mode, where colors are just really saturated and makes everything look a bit odd, at least to me. And then they also asked, in the past, you've talked about game controllers, especially in regards to finding ones that are well-priced. Out of the controllers we've both used, what would you say are the best if money isn't an issue?
I cannot answer this one since I am a cheap ass that uses a keyboard.
Well, that's the thing. It's not like I get, like, the fancy expensive controllers. Like the two fanciest controllers I have right now is I have the Nintendo Switch 2 controller, which, I have to admit, is one of, like, the most comfortable controllers I've ever used. I'm tempted to plug it into the PC to try it there, but I'm not sure if there's driver support yet. And my daily driver right now is an 8-bit Do Pro 3, which I found to be cartoonishly comfortable, and... One thing I really like is it comes with a little, like, magnet stick thing, so you can actually pull the buttons off and change the position of them. But it,
fancy.
Well, no, it's so that, because the Xbox and Nintendo stuff use the same buttons but different positions, so you can swap the covers. Yeah, that's been a nice controller. But, yeah, I would say get whatever's comfortable for you. Let's see, next from chat, someone said, are there any mythological creatures that you'd like to see a Digimon draw inspiration from? My brain just keeps going, they did Godzilla.
Godzilla. If they're going off of Chinese myth, Hundun.
Yeah, I just keep thinking of Godzilla.
Also, I would fucking love if they did a pair of Digimon for Hati and Skull. That would be badass to me, specifically.
Wait, didn't they do one of Handan? Wasn't that Jiangmon?
Really? It doesn't look like.
I think that one was supposed to be Handan. I think. I could be wrong. I may be mixing them up. I'm not great with Chinese mythology, but I think that's Handan.
They're separate things. They're very similar but separate things.
Oh, okay. Okay, that makes sense. Let's see. Next one, some sent ahead of time. Oh, now that the release of Time Stranger has died down a bit, how do you feel about the game getting a Switch 2 port? And could any of the existing Switch Digimon games get Switch 2 upgrades? I feel like a Switch 2 port is a matter of when and not if. I don't know what resolution it will run at. But yeah, that feels like a sure thing. I'm trying to decide if they would just like release it in the next few months if they can, or do you wait until all the DLCs release and just be like, hey, it's the Ultimate Edition.
Like, you know what? I feel like that would probably work out better in the long run.
I guess the question also is what the pacing of the DLC will be. Like, if they're small DLC packs and they're done by May, you could release the game next November and just do everything. So we'll see. It feels like it's when, not if, though. Then someone said they recall me being excited for the new Frankenstein movie. They're wondering if I'd liked it, and was I still looking forward to Wake Up Dead Man? Frankenstein, I thought, was the best movie I've seen this year so far. And yes, I'm still looking forward to Wake Up Dead Man once that's out. Frankenstein was so good.
One of my coworkers actually saw the Frankenstein one, I think, like 2 days ago, and they said it was absolutely fucking amazing.
Oh, no.
I have yet to see it.
It's so good. Yeah, I generally haven't been talking about it because I don't, like, here's the thing, there aren't really surprises in it because it's a Frankenstein movie that's very much Frankenstein, but I still don't want to spoil it, even though, like, it's not going to be shocking surprises.
Imagine having, like, a Frankenstein movie marathon.
That'd be neat. And you end with Young Frankenstein.
Yes.
Last chance in chat for any questions. Sorry, what was that, Dev?
Putting on the Ritz.
The last one that was sent in ahead of time was, people like to say the franchise almost died here or there, but based on what you both know about the numbers and fan engagement, are there times when you think the franchise looked like it really might fade out? Honestly, there was really only two times that ever happened. The first is the end of Frontier, Tamers and Frontier. People really don't understand just like how much that was going off a cliff for those two. And then after Savers. After Savers, you could find almost nothing. Like, after Frontier, you could still find, like, V-Pets pretty easily, and there were still new ones. After Savers, it, like...
Yeah, I remember looking for Digimon merchants, like, there's a lunchbox.
Yeah, it was, like, all joking aside, it was, like, worse than a Thanos snap for Digimon fans after Savers. Like, it was...
And after that, they didn't have any more of the art books, either. The last one was the Digimon Chronicle, and that was it.
Yes. Once Savers was done, and that underperformed, that was basically it. Like, people like to joke, Cross Wars almost killed Digimon. It really didn't. After Cross Wars, you could still find stuff, like, tons of stuff. Because they're so... Because they so...
Lots of fun little things.
They so quickly were moving into an... like various products, like Adventure on PSP and other stuff, there just wasn't a show at the time. The worst time was definitely the years in between Savers and Cross Wars. You would have every once in a while there would be a game or a thing. Things would just like collapsed at that point. And yeah, for Cross Wars, like you could find Digimon Fusion toys at Walmart, like chat's pointing out. So even when Cross Wars ended in Japan, once it came here, we got stuff, even though it didn't do that well out here. And weirdly, we're now hitting the point where people who watched Fusion are growing up and now looking for Fusion and Cross Wars stuff more and more, especially in the U.S., where people are really looking for that stuff. So it's been a good time for more Cross Wars stuff to show up also. Let's see. I believe that is it for questions. Dev? What Wikimon article would you like people to read?
Click the random button. I don't care today. I'm tired.
Let's see. I believe I'm not around next Monday, so the next episode may be Sunday. Well, me and Dev will figure it out and let everyone know.
Oh, that'll actually work for me, because I have to be at work at like 11 p.m. at night.
Ugh. Just to confirm, chat, when we say Sunday, we mean like Sunday this week. Like, we'll do the episode a day early, not Sunday the next week covering two episodes. So, yeah, it would just be Sunday instead of Monday. Thank you, everyone, for showing up. We'll catch you later this week for Beat Break Episode 7. God, and if the show is 50 episodes, we're almost 20% through. So thank you, everyone, for showing up. We will catch you later in the week. Bye.
Bye.